gentlemen on the rail at a jog. Please on the rail at a jog.
Hello, everyone. We're back with another episode of On the Rail podcast. We've been listening to our listeners, and we finally are going to deep dive into the ranch world. And I'm super excited with the guest that we have on today. I've talked to her before without really knowing that I've talked to her before back in the wee start of Millennial Cowgirl days. So I'm super excited to have her on today. So without further ado, I'll have her introduce herself. And then we'll just go into a little bit of your background and what you've been doing in the equine industry.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited. Flattered you guys asked me. My name is Shannon Quinlan Hill. My husband Brad and I run Hill Performance Horses in Sharpsville, Pennsylvania. I've been very lucky that I grew up in the horses. I've shown everything from hunters to cow horses to riding auction sale barn horses. So I've had a very diverse background with two horsey parents that were both judges and horse trainers and coaches. So I grew up in the industry and still doing it.
I was just say before we hit record here, Liz and Shannon were briefly reminiscing about how you guys met maybe back in the day. Should we touch on that?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know how many people have followed my previous journeys before all of this happening, but I started a company called Millennial Cowgirl, which originally was a magazine that kind of shifted around. And my first issue really focused on the women in the industry, which I was super proud of. But I'll let Shannon tell her story of why I interviewed her.
In 2019, I had a horse named Rough and Shiny. He was owned by Dr. Robert Stein, and he and I won the open reining at the Congress. And I was the first woman to be able to pull that off.
Which is crazy and exciting.
Yes, yes. I was very lucky to have that horse. He was a very, very special horse. He and I had won some other stunts, and that finished our year off definitely on a high note. And I went into it thinking, you know, we're just going to hang it out there. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then we'll try again next time. And it all came together that day for us.
And if I remember right, you didn't even realize it, right? When you won? Right. Okay.
No. You know, I was obviously happy to win. You know, that was great. And then later that day, somebody was like, I think you're the first woman to do that. And we started looking into it a little bit more. And sure enough, that's true.
Crazy.
Cool. Yeah. It's probably feels like a lifetime ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's a super cool story.
I was lucky enough too that year also I was reserve champion in the senior ranch riding. So 2019 was a pretty darn good year for us.
Yeah.
So did you do the reining and stuff before a ranch came around, or kind of what's your background?
Yes. Yep. I started doing the reining actually as a youth. I got my first horse for my 10th birthday, first reining horse. And showed as a youth, and then ended up working for some industry professionals along the way. And we got into the ranch riding more heavy in 2017. Actually, that same owner, Dr. Stein, bought a horse named Blackjack Booty. And he expressed interest in going in the ranch riding route. And I wasn't super familiar at that time. But that horse ended up really excelling in it. He was an incredible horse, a very, very special horse to everybody that got to be around him. He won the level one ranch riding at the Congress, and then he was reserve in the senior as well. So he kind of started it off for me in this, and have, you know, I've been lucky enough to go on to have a lot of other special horses. I won the junior at the World Show on a horse named Cash Me In for owner Debbie Cooper. That was another great horse. So I've been very lucky in the ranch riding aspect to have good horses, and it's taken me places I could never imagine.
So before we like deep dive into the ranch stuff, going from like reining to the ranch riding, how did those differ for you? And like, I guess for me personally, I've never shown either. So is the riding style even different versus like how you're sitting for the reining versus what you're doing in the pattern work for the ranch riding? How did that shift for you, I guess? Was it different?
For me, I would say my style has stayed pretty similar. I think in the ranch riding, you're not showing them off maybe quite as hard. You know, you're not crawling up their neck in your extended lopes, and you're not tossing rein out there. Those are undesirable things actually in the ranch riding. So I don't know that my style changed, but it's definitely changed my training program. And obviously what they look for in the horses is different.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, for sure. So in the reining, they don't have to be 10 movers. You know, it's great if they are, but it's not a huge point in that. They can be below level in their neck. Expression is not as big of a upside, where in the ranch riding, they need to be level or slightly above in their neck. Expression is huge. They need to be great movers, forward moving, true lopes, you know, true 3-beat lopes. So those are some differences. For me, the reining, you can keep them a little more under your thumb. You can check in with them throughout the pattern. In the ranch riding, not so much.
Before we get too deep down the rabbit hole on this stuff, could you, I am a huge fan of ranch, never shown it, and it seems like the division is continuously expanding. So could you give a brief rundown of all the classes that are currently available and just a brief description of what they are and like maybe different from each other? Because some of them seem labeled like they're almost the same thing to me, but obviously they're not.
Yes, for sure. So you have the ranch riding, which is the pattern class. There's 15 patterns. The patterns consist of walk, jog, extended jog, lope, extended lope, change leads, turn, side pass, some logs, backs. And each pattern, you know, differs obviously in what it calls for, but all are made up of those components. In a ranch riding in general, you know, every class, the trail, the rail, the ranch riding, you're looking for a well-broke, responsive, well-mannered, expressive, forward-moving, efficient horse. Something that you're going to want to sit on all day on the ranch, that's useful to have, that can get you from place to place in a timely manner. And that goes across all the ranch classes. There's also the rail, which is, you know, similar to any other rail class. You know, same thing. They're looking for a bright expression, forward moving, a good mover, cadenced mover, good in their top line, level or slightly above, especially at the extended gates. They should be above level. And you know, same thing. They call for those same gates on the rail. The trail for me is about being efficient, being careful, being obedient. You're going to have logs, lope overs, jog logs, walk logs, bridges, gates, drags, backthroughs, things that you would encounter maybe out on the ranch. And then there's a whole nother component. You have the versatility ranch horse, the VRH stuff. And that's actually, it's still AQHA based, but it's a whole separate world show, separate classes, separate qualification. And that focuses more on a more well-rounded, versatile horse. They do an all-around award. And there's some cow work in that. They have the ranch riding, the trail, confirmation, and they do an all-around award for that.
So that is kind of a average or something of all those events put together for the VRH. Is it world champion? Is it a world champion award? Okay.
Yeah. So for the VRH, the globe will go to the High Point horse, junior horse, say, you know, and they compete in all of those events. Each one gets placed individually, but there's an all-around winner at the end. Opposed to the ranch riding, trail, and rail that you see at the World Show, those are individually placed classes.
Interesting. What made you get started then to, I guess, go to the ranch side? You obviously showed reining, and it was just a natural transition for you, or were you looking for a little something different, or what?
After Blackjack Booty, you know, I started getting more horses for the ranch riding. I started cross-training a lot of my reiners into the ranch riding. I feel like that's helped them a lot as well. They get to go in the arena, steer different places, do things a little slower, pay attention. I think it's a great thing for them as well. So I started using it for that. And then a lot of horses at that time, I started gearing towards just the ranch riding and letting them be specialized in that. But Blackjack Booty definitely, for me, brought in more of the horses and and piqued my interest in the ranch riding, where prior to that, it wasn't on my radar quite so much.
Would you say the reiners have an easier transition to the ranch horse events than maybe like an all-around horse does?
I personally think so, yes, just because it's made up of a lot of the similar components. You know, you want them to do, to stop, to turn, change leads. They should carry themselves the same. Some reiners carry themselves lower than we want in the ranch, but ideally it's the same functionality.
Do you have very many maybe amateur type customers that have like an all-around horse and they come to you and say, I just want to learn to do some of the ranch, or are you pretty much strictly doing the open level horses, or what's your business consist of?
Yes, we do have some amateurs and some youths, both in the reining and the ranch riding. Most of them do both now. A lot of my reining customers have made the transition to the ranch, which is great, or they do both. And I think a lot of them really enjoy the ranch riding route a lot and that show structure, because they get to go to the horse show and show their horse multiple times. The ranch riding at the horse shows, you're showing all day and you're going in multiple classes. You know, it didn't work that time, no problem. You get to turn around and go fix what you didn't like the next time. Where in the reining, you know, maybe you show two times a weekend, you're prepping, you get 3 minutes in the pen, you get to sit around for 2 days before you get to go back in and do it again. Where the ranch riding allows people to spend more time with their horses, they can do a lot of the prep work. There's a lot of elements of it. They get to go do the rail, the trail, the ranch riding, and they get to spend a little more time with their horse and fix some things that happen throughout the day immediately.
I think most of us owners, amateurs, are trying to get more bang for their buck when we go to these dang horse shows.
Right. So. Absolutely. You know, the reinings are more expensive. You go, you get 6 minutes in the pen if you show twice a weekend, and that's your weekend. You know, where the ranch riding, you can go, you have multiple chances, multiple disciplines within the ranch that you get to go in and do. And I think from an amateur standpoint, they really enjoy that. And they get to, and with the VRH, if we're at a horse show with the VRH, there's the reining. They get to go in and they still get to do their reining. I think they enjoy the structure of the ranch riding a lot. It just allows them more horse time, more saddle time. We're done at the end of the day to go to dinner. And the camaraderie in the ranch riding pen for me is fantastic. All the trainers are supportive of everybody. They're supportive of everybody else's amateurs. If somebody's in a wreck over here, somebody's going to go help them, and that's okay, you know. And I think our people really enjoy that as well.
So you said, I think you said your first ranch riding class was in 2017. So from then until now, how much growth have you personally seen within this division?
So much. I think ranch riding started as a little bit of a catch-all for maybe the reiners that weren't great or getting burned up, or the pleasure horses that weren't slow enough, or, you know, it was a class made up of rejects from something else. And now people are starting to breed for it, to buy for it, to train for it, and spending quite a bit of money on these things. It's becoming a huge discipline. It's a lot of the horse shows we go to, it's the biggest class. It shows all day. You know, you start early in the morning, you go late at night, and it's grown our program immensely.
Hmm. Always definitely seems to have big numbers, yeah, no matter where you're at. So there's something to it.
I think this year in the 2023 World Show, the amateur ranch trail was the biggest class in the horse show.
Wow.
So that, I think, speaks for itself.
For sure.
Why do you think, in your opinion, I guess, because it gets talked about a lot, why do you think the ranch stuff is so, popular right now?
Appealing.
Appealing. Why is ranch so appealing to everybody right now?
I think it's people coming from the AQHA industry. They're used to the pleasure where you're buying a, you know, $2,000 jacket, a $15,000 saddle, $100,000 horse, and it has priced itself out in some ways, where the ranch riding is not about that. Everybody's in work tech. You're in plain shirts. You're there enjoying your horse. The horses are more affordable, I would say, at a higher level. So it's affordable. It's inviting. It's fun. And like I said earlier, you might not have a great ranch trail go, but you get to go back in the ranch riding. Where if you're on a pleasure horse, oh, your amateur class didn't work. Well, that's too bad, you know.
Do you think that the ranch horse industry is still new enough now that it hasn't maxed out on its price of horses versus, because I this is one thing I see talked about a lot, and I'm trying to phrase this best so I don't confuse you, but because the ranch stuff is newer, that like, yes, the horses, even at a higher level, are still less expensive than maybe the horses at a higher level in a different event or discipline, but it's still new enough. So maybe if you give it time, then the ranch horses will become just as expensive. And then will it hurt the ranch? Or do you think there's enough other stuff there as far as, like you said, like the tack and the clothing and the camaraderie, that it'll stay true to its roots and still feel very welcoming to everyone?
I hope it continues to stay welcoming to everybody. And I think there's different levels. You can play on the weekend or you can have the World Show horse. I think just in the last few years, even, there is room for growth and it will continue to grow and the horses will continue to get better and to be worth more as anything goes. You know, everybody wants to be bigger and better. And I do think there's room for that. And I've seen it a lot, even in the past couple years. You know, if these horses are, like I said, getting trained for it, and the horse quality is becoming so good that they have to check a lot of boxes, and that's worth a lot. You know, they have to be great movers. They have to have expression. They have to be good top line. They should be attractive to look at. You throw amateur friendly in there if that's what you're shopping for. And they have to go do the three classes. They should be good on the rail, the trail, and the patterns. So I think that's worth paying for. And I think it's starting to attract people from the AQHA world, and some bigger players are starting to get into it, and it's starting to appeal to a lot of people.
From what it sounds like, you think most people show all three events rather than having a ranch rail horse or a ranch trail horse. They do it all, kind of a thing, which is cool.
Yes. Right now, I would say that that's most common, that you're going to enter all three classes.
Okay. Interesting. So tell us about your experience at the latest AQHA World Show, where you won the Reserve World Champion and the Open Working Western Rail on everyone's favorite gray horse. What was that like? And what was the prep like for a show that big?
So I started the year on Big Shot in March at the Virginia Maiden. Everybody's Talking At Me is his show name. And he has been nothing but a dream since. We prepped all year to try to be as best as we could and peak at the right time. And it definitely panned out that way with help from a lot of different people. I think his success there really showed how important it is to have a great team behind you. I was very lucky that he is owned by fantastic people, Steven Stevens, Terry Krauss, and Janae Pugliani. Terry was there with me every step of the way at that world show and helped me a lot from the ground and was definitely my eyes on the ground. And we got down to the nitty gritty and picked it apart, and Big Shot just ate it up and really rose to the occasion. It was very special for me that he went out and did that in an all-age class as a three-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he's a very mature horse. He loves his job. He loves going to work. And he's been easy all year. And I think that class really showcased him. We came actually right over from the trail. He had to go right to that arena. So he showed all day. He made the shootout on the trail. So he showed twice in the trail and then had to go right over there to the rail finals. And he just never missed a beat.
I did see your post on the ranch trail, and forgive me because I don't remember your exact score, but it was very high, if I remember correct.
He was very, very good. The first go, he was great. We made the shootout. We clobbered a log, but I couldn't have been happier with him. in how he showed and how he handled that experience, especially, again, as a three-year-old, one-handed, in an all-age class. I couldn't have asked for any more.
So is this is the gray horse that was in Laney's post? Is this the same horse?
Okay. Yep.
I was like, I knew we had that in our notes to talk about, and I'm just trying to make sure I'm following. I guess since I brought that up right here, and then we'll do some training and prep stuff. Did you have any idea that you were going to be featured in her post, or did that shock you with the amount of the Facebook, whatever, I guess, conversation that stemmed from that?
I had no idea. And actually, the other ranch horse in that post is another one of our three-year-olds that Brad was on. So that was kind of neat. But I was just scrolling Facebook and I was like, I know that gray horse. And it happened to be him. But I think the topic that post was about is top line expression, forward moving, and that sums him up. I mean, he is a fantastic mover. He is so good across the ground. He's so soft moving at every gait, both directions. His ears are fantastic. He just has so much charisma going around that I think, you know, that's hard to find and hard to recreate, really.
I know in a lot of the comments, they were just, you know, celebrating how happy and free moving he was. Like, that was just a repetitive comment in that thread. Do you feel like we should be highlighting more of that in just some of our all around events, maybe some of the other events? Haven't been able to show in the reining or ranch myself, but as an industry whole, do you think it would be beneficial, let's just say, for the public eye to see more horses like Big Shot moving like that?
I think so. You know, it's a big focus in our program, and I think it could be carried across every discipline. You know, I think horses should like coming out and doing their job and look like they have life doing it, and they're happy to be there, and they're acknowledging their surroundings, and they shouldn't be so, I hate to use the word intimidated, but focused and intimidated and intense that they have no expression. And I think forward moving, every horse looks better going forward, you know, whether and forward to each discipline is different. You know, a forward moving pleasure horse is not the same as a forward moving hunt seater. But I think forward solves a lot of things for me.
I think a few people have said that. So how do you in your training program keep them looking so great and happy and content?
I try to let them be individuals. I would say Brad and I do a really good job not making them have to be cookie cutter into a mold. You know, I allow them to have expression. I try to be as understanding of them as I can. You know, I focus on young horses. That's what we enjoy. That's what we like. That would be our niche, I would say. So there's a lot of growth in and out of them learning, but I think try to put them in scenarios that benefit them and give them confidence. Try not to tear their confidence down and tear them down. Put them in winning positions, both at home and at horse shows, and try to keep them looking forward to each day and let them come along at their own rate. I was very lucky that Big Shot has been mature the whole time that we've had him, and he rose to every occasion and loved it. That's not the case for every horse. Maybe another horse is going to peak his 4- and 5-year-old. But try to treat them all as individuals and let them express themselves as long as they're doing it in a productive manner.
How does the futurity world compare in ranch horses to either reining horses or pleasure or hunt seater type horses? Is there as much in the futurity world? And so they maybe value the older horse, or where does that exist right now?
I think the last year or two, and definitely looking forward to 2024, the ranch world is starting to recognize the futurity and younger horse structure, and there's starting to be some added money in that and classes directed towards that, which I'm personally very excited about. So I do think that that's going to start growing for the ranch horse world, which I think is a great thing. It's a chance to win some money back and develop young horses that then go on to be successful older horses.
Do you foresee that hindering the ability to keep these horses happy looking as they do? And it's probably training program specific, but, you know, like we always see these, that when money gets on the line, more trainers will do. I'm not singling out trainers, but people will do more desperate things to get horses ready that aren't quite ready for the pen. So it's always like a balancing act of, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
My first reaction to that is, yes, it's going to be program specific and it's going to require people acting as horsemen and keeping horses in situations that are beneficial for them and that they're confident in and ready for. I'm sure it will shift the industry to look for the younger horses, the two-year-olds, and drive people to move them along faster. Hopefully that doesn't get out of hand. You never know, I guess.
Yeah, you definitely never know. Do you, with the ranch horses being a little bit on the smaller side, do you have a different maybe protocol starting them or breaking them under saddle than what you, I guess you've always done reining horses, so you're pretty well versed in all of that, but are they pretty strong when they're young or it really just varies horse to horse?
It varies horse to horse. We start all of ours, whether they're ranch riders or reiners, the same. You know, if they're just going to be a ranch horse, maybe they don't run and stop and turn as hard or as early. And it's okay if they're a little behind the reiners. I think it's the same for us. If the horse is too small, you wait until they're a little more mature. If they're big and strong and ready to go, we're going to roll on with it. A lot of times, like we have a colt this year that every time we get on him, he's getting better and better and better almost too quickly. So he gets rode 2 or 3 days a week. He might have a week off here or there. You know, not if things are happening and coming along fast, there's no sense to keep pushing the envelope. And I think that just boils down to being a horseman and recognizing, hey, this horse is ready for this. This horse is not ready for this. It's coming on too fast, too slow, whatever the case may be for that horse.
Absolutely. And I hope you don't take offense to my questions. I just have watched friends from the outside and I love it and I'm fascinated by it, but I've never gotten to really be in the trenches of it myself. So I'm really just nerd braining out here on this stuff.
That actually sprang a question to my mind because Jenna and I think we've talked about it like privately, but you brought up that we're now seeing specific horses bred for the ranch. So that makes me wonder, the differences between like a reining bred horse versus the ranch bred horse is a matter of being more laid back for the amateurs, like having a more, I just have heard, and maybe you can correct me, that some reiners are a little bit more hot when they're younger and into their adult life just from their breeding side. But do you think it's gonna like how we've specialized Western Pleasure so much, or you know, our all-arounders to be more amateur friendly, do you think we're gonna start like seeing that in the ranch horses? My brain's just like babbling, but
I think it's possible. Yes, I think a lot of the ranch horses, like take Big Shot for example, we're very excited to get his babies on the ground. He checks every box. He's a great mover. He's built good. Gray never hurts. All those things. And I think they're going to start coming from the reining world. And we're just going to be more specific about what we're breeding for the ranch. Maybe they get crossed on a pleasure horse or an all-around bred type horse for the movement, the size. I think with the reiners, some ways a misconception comes from they are pushed in certain programs very hard. They're doing things hard and fast. So not every horse can handle that mentally, physically. And when they make the transition to the ranch, it might take them a little bit of time to decompress. I wouldn't call them hotter. I think the reining industry is starting to breed for user-friendly. And I think that'll carry over into the ranch as well.
Is your fitness holding back your riding? Discover Ride Fit Life. We tailor fitness coaching for riders. Balance riding with life, shed fat, and bid farewell to feeling overwhelmed. With personalized nutrition and fitness plans, boost your physical strength and mindset to add joyful years to your riding career. Be proud of who you see on the saddle. Plus, join our Fitness and Fat Loss for Equestrians Facebook group for free resources. Ready to elevate your writing? Visit RideFitLife.com now. Your fitter, happier writing life is just a click away.
Yeah, that's on my like bucket list, is to ride a Rainer. But I've just, like, from passing times in the show office, you just hear some things that, like, they're a little bit more fresh most of the time and that sort of thing. So me as a very amateur writer, it's always interesting to hear those things.
Yeah, and I think it's so different from the pleasure. You know, you want the pleasure slow moving, quiet,
much duller,
relaxed.
And the Rainers, yeah.
Yes, much that you want them duller minded, duller in their bodies. And the Rainers, they have to give so much of themselves as an athlete and mentally to what they're doing that they can't be dull. You know, they can obviously be behaved and trained, but they are going to have a lot more feel and trained to have a lot more feel than the Western pleasure horse.
Mm, that makes sense for sure.
Do you have to prepare your ranch horses differently than you prepare your Rainers, say, like at a show? I mean, obviously the training varies because you do different events, but at a show, are they prepared differently to you?
Yes. And actually, that was a big learning curve for me coming from the Rainers to the ranch riders on a weekend show level. So the Rainers, you know, it's pretty industry standard. You're getting on 15 to 10 draws ahead of time. And you spend that hour on that horse to go show. The ranch riders, especially with us taking, you know, having 4, 5, 6 in a class, you don't have that time. You don't have an hour a horse. At the bigger shows, you do most of the time, unless you get drawn up close. But they have to be able to step on, jog around, and go present themselves. So tailored my program towards that, where in the Rainers I never had to. So that was definitely a learning curve for me. And even at the bigger shows, I would say I have a very type A personality. So I try to do less with my ranch riders than I do my Rainers, because you want that expression. You want their legs good. I want them to be able to look up and acknowledge and have that expression and that charisma going around, where that's not as important in the reining.
I think one of the things from me, from an outsider's perspective, what I think about ranch horses versus all the other things we're doing, and ranch horses are so popular. And of course, I think the barrier of entry has historically been less to get into it. I don't know if that will always continue when everything kind of reaches its peak. But that being said, I feel like there is a wider margin for error in the ranch than some of the other horse types. And I mean that in the best way. So like Rainers or Western pleasure horses, it's so competitive and they're scored or not scored so hard. And there's just no room for any kind of like little mishap. But in the ranch, they can kind of have a little more personality and like horse to them. And that's not necessarily a fault in the ranch yet. And I think that's exciting.
They can have their own style going around. I let mine, as long as they're not being rude about it, if they want to look around, acknowledge the judges, acknowledge the stands, that's okay in the ranch riding. Where maybe in the pleasure or the reining, it's looked at as disobedience. I want mine, and just like you would on the ranch, I want them to acknowledge their surroundings. I want them to acknowledge me. I want them to look interactive with what's going on, not just like so intense that they're there just focusing on their job and they don't have any sense of what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm. That's really appealing to me in the ranch world. I mean, that's the thing that like draws me to it the most, probably as an owner thinking about like, what do I want to go show myself, right. You know, kind of a thing.
Right. And I like to think the ranch horses compared to the Rainers, and I don't know about the pleasure horses and the all-around horses. I haven't done that, but their longevity as a show horse, I think, is longer than, say, a Rainer, because they get to go in and do the trail and the rail, but also they are allowed to have expression and be themselves and enjoy their job. And it's intriguing, and there's different patterns and different requirements, and that you don't do the same trail pattern twice. So it's engaging their brain, and I like to think that they enjoy it, and they should look like they enjoy it.
Do you show any other associations outside of AQHA in the ranch stuff?
Nope, just AQHA and then FRHA.
Okay.
And NSBA.
NSBA. That's what I didn't know if any... Yeah. I know there's probably small differences in associations, but for the most part, they're all more or less the same.
Yep, so we always do the NSBA World Show. I was actually very lucky. Big Shot was reserved there as well in the rail this year. So we always go there, and then the AQHA shows, and then we try to hit the reinings as much as we can too.
Gotcha. Are there any misconceptions or challenges associated with ranch horse classes that the average person may not be aware of?
I think that people still, and people even heavily involved in the AQHA, think that it can be a little bit of a catch-all class. It didn't make a pleasure horse. Oh, you know, it'll be good for the ranch. And that's not always the case. It is getting so specific, and the horse quality is getting so good that they have to check a lot of boxes. And maybe that horse that wasn't great in the pleasure or the reining does check that box. But anymore, to go be very successful at a high level, they have to do a lot, and it's not always a catch-all for other classes. Other horses that didn't fit other classes.
Yeah, I think I've seen the trends of that. I don't know if trends are the right word, the metamorphosis of that. I think when ranch originally started, while it was intended for the horses that are very much there today, a lot of people, if they did like have horses that flunked out and something else, they're like, oh, we'll try ranch. And it was new enough then that it wasn't as competitive. So it worked. And I don't think that that probably still stands true today.
No, and occasionally it does. You know, we have some pleasure horses that were better suited for this. We have some horses that started as reiners that are better suited for the ranch riding. And it does work, and they are very elite at it. But it's, you can't always take the below average horse in something else and make it an above average ranch horse. And it seems like sometimes people think that, oh, it doesn't make this, it'll make that. And that's not always the case anymore. 10 years ago, yes, maybe that was the case. Now, not so much.
I do love that you said that you don't make your horses fit into this like cookie cutter mold. And I hope people that are listening take that to heart and try that out on their own horses. They don't need to fit a mold to be successful in one class, but maybe they'd be successful in another. What are your personal opinions on the future of these classes? Do you hope they have anything else to add to them? I know like some of these ranch shows have like ranch horsemanship now. Is there anything that you would hope for AQHA to add at some point?
Class-wise, I like that they're starting to recognize the level one and the trail and the rail. I think that's great. As far as a totally separate class, I feel this covers between the AQHA and the VRH. I think it covers just about everything that it can cover, especially with the VRH having the cow stuff, the ranch reining, the confirmation. You know, that I think covers a lot of bases. I think going forward for the ranch horse industry, we need to get a standard and be able to ride to that standard, achieve that standard, and be consistent with that standard. And I think even Katie, Joe, and Aaron talked about it, you know, in their world as well. We have to be able to, there needs to be a clear-cut standard of what they're looking for, what we need to do, hold to that in order for this to continue to keep growing and draw people in.
Without putting you on the spot, do you already see there's some confusion there in the, I guess, for lack of a better word, like you said, the standard as far as what people think should be placing versus what they're seeing placing?
Yes, I think the go-to is, oh, well, ranch horses don't go around like that. And yes, that's a valid point, but it is still a horse show. And I think the ranch riding is still new at this point. So it's gone through a couple different styles and fads. And I think it's time now to boil it down to exactly what they're looking for. And the judges, you know, need to get on the same page and reward whatever they decide that standard is. And I think, like I said, it's so new. One weekend, you see somebody go show the rail on a long rein. I'm watching the split before me. That's what got called out of that split to come back. Well, I'm making a decision then. Well, do I show my horse on a longer rein? Because that's what they just used. Even though maybe that's not what the standard is supposed to be. And I do think that everybody in the AQHA and the association and the judges are moving in the right direction. I do think there's a lot of education going on about it, a lot of acknowledgement, and I do think it's headed in the right direction. I do think that there has been some discrepancies in the past, and I think judges' education is going to, which I know they're doing, but I think that's really going to make a big difference as well. You know, I've seen on the weekend stuff a lot, or even at the World Show. One judge will have a plus one maneuver, one will have a minus one maneuver. One's well above average and one's well below average. And maybe that horse fell in the middle somewhere. But looking at a scorecard as an exhibitor and seeing that, it's hard to figure out what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I appreciate your thoughts on that. I know we kind of put you on the spot there, but it's...
No problem.
It's a very... current, yes. whatever current conversation with a lot of different things, I think. And I was like, the judges are so well-intended, I think 99% of the time, and the exhibitors will do what wins, and trainers are well, you know, everybody's well-intended, but there's just something in the middle that's missing a little bit. So it's always good to kind of get different thoughts from different viewpoints on all that.
And I think it's an industry-wide thing. I mean, obviously it's happening in the pleasure as well, based on Aaron and Katie Joe's conversation. And I think, you know, listening to that, I see it in the ranch riding as well. I think everybody's doing their best and it's moving forward and things are being talked about. There's a lot of good conversations and I think it'll all get resolved. But I think right now the ranch riding is new and they're just trying to develop a standard and differentiate, and because it is new, there are different styles out there. My horses don't go like the next guys all the time, and the judges are just getting used to seeing that, and the discipline's getting used to having that, and I think it's just going through some growth at the moment. All good things, though.
For sure. So I know we've almost had you for an hour, and it is Sunday, so we don't want to keep you all day. What are some of your goals for the future?
I have a lot. We're currently working on looking into getting our judges' cards. And I personally would love to be more involved on the association side of things, boards and committees. That's something that really interests me and I would love to get more involved in. I want to keep bettering our program and keep trying to match that standard. I think Brad and I are really good at recognizing what we need to change. And we are just always in the hunt of trying to be better, trying to match what they're looking for, and keep our horses happy, healthy, and consistent.
That sounds amazing and definitely exciting for you guys to be looking into your judging card. I know we need a lot more.
Yep, we're excited about it. And I think, you know, the more judges that are out there trying to find that standard, you know, based on the ranch horse stuff and that are doing it and out there showing it and can go judge it, I think that's going to help a lot, too.
For sure. Would it just be your AQHA card or are you thinking about any other ones?
We're actually going to go test for our NRHA card in March and then the AQHA cards and NSBA is next on the list.
Perfect. Jenna, did you have anything else?
No, but if you want to provide contact information or anything, if you are or aren't taking customers, whatever you want to do for our listeners, that's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody ever wants to troubleshoot, come ride, send a horse, looking for a horse, anything I can do to help, shoot me a message on Facebook or give us a call, and we're happy to help in any way we can.
And just one time again, what was the name of your training business on, to find your page on Facebook? Or is it best to contact the page?
Yeah. Yep. The page is fine. And it's Hill Performance Horses.
All righty. Perfect.
Well, perfect. We appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun. And I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah. Awesome. We'll give you a heads up on when we're going to get this one out. And yeah, thanks for being our first ranch episode and probably many more to come.
Yeah. Perfect. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That'll be your class. Bring them in and line them up.